What would have happened if the Jetsons had God in their lives? How might prioritizing God over gadgets, faith over fashion, and eternal treasure over temporary conveniences have changed their story? Remember the 1960s Jetsons cartoon? Maybe I'm just dating myself, but I absolutely loved that show growing up. I know, it's just a silly cartoon, right? But that cartoon influenced a culture and somehow predicted the future, like video calls, home fitness, smartwatches, doggy treadmills, home automation, and even flying cars, long before they were on our tech radar. Now, while the Jetsons gave us a peek into the future, it also perhaps unknowingly mirrored a mindset that's all too familiar today. Chasing after the latest gadgets, coveting status, and even occasionally, envy crops up. Today, let's examine our lives through the futuristic family of the Jetsons. What would have happened if they had put more value into God other than putting value into modern conveniences, material things, and social status? How do we navigate the fine line between appreciating innovation and falling into the trap of materialism and idolization of people and things? How is this shaping our view towards God and our spiritual growth? Let's get into it.
Broadcasting directly from our studios in sunny Orlando, Florida, you are listening to Faith Unregulated. We are your hosts, Javi and Jessica Madrigal, and on this podcast, we discuss the hard topics around having bold faith, building strong character, and taking fearless action. So grab a cup of coffee and join the conversation.
And today, we're talking about the Jetsons.
The Jetsons!
I have been looking forward to this episode, just having a little bit of fun, but also speaking into that thing we call value. But we're going to look at value today, how in ways that we value things, the things that we have around us, the material things, or maybe our mindset, and how we let that value cloud our relationship with God.
Absolutely. One of the things that I love about this is we like to watch old cartoons with our kids. Mm-hmm. We love putting on like, hey guys, have you heard of the Jetsons? They're like, the what? And then they think it's hilarious watching these, they call them these super old cartoons. I'm just like, oh man, I'm so old. And they watch them and they realize, they start geeking out just like we do. They start realizing, wow, that's, you know, in their mind, this is old, right? They're like, back then they thought about these types of things. And I'm like, oh my gosh, you guys. But yeah, and we absolutely are going to dive into that today. I'm super excited about it.
We still haven't come up with the food replicator all the way, but we've got there with the microwave. And some other home automations.
I want the food replicator so bad. Every time we watch Star Trek, I'm like, dang it. I just want to go replicate dinner right now.
That'll be another episode, right? We'll take Star Trek and what Star Trek predicted.
That's right. That's right. What Star Trek predicted. I love on the Jetsons when she's like poking buttons and she's like, whoo, now that that's over with. And he goes to work and he comes home and he's like, oh, you know, that was a hard day at that job, honey. And then meanwhile, he shows him at work and he's just poking buttons and like the operator is the robot, but he's like, and we're almost there, guys. Like we're there. Right. So, you know, he's just like, ooh, wiping his brow. Like yeah, that was exactly. Such a hard day at work.
Really hard labor. But the thing is we like to get nostalgic with our kids, show them these shows that we used to watch.
And they love it.
You know, the thing is we sometimes get motivated by what we think were maybe safe or wholesome or whatever cartoons or shows. And when we were showing them the Jetson cartoons, I started to realize how they valued things, how back then they really were setting the tone on how we perceive our lives around tech, around these conveniences, and how that becomes the priority. Those are the guideposts to our lives rather than God. And that's why I wanted to bring this up today. Well, and I thought it would be fun to use the Jetsons as a perfect example.
It is a perfect example. And the interesting thing about this is that I think it's always been a thing where, it's not just in the 60s, but it's always been a thing where people were looking forward to modern conveniences and things like that. But specifically the Jetsons, because it was the space race going on back then. And so our culture at the time was like, what if we could just send our kids to Mars for us, field trip for school, and then their teenage daughter's like, what does she go to Hawaii or something?
Yeah, it's right around the corner,
And they shoot them off at a tube.
Right. I'm just going to go off to Hawaii or Fiji. I'm going to go and have my field trip over on the moon or Mars or whatever. Like, it's right around the corner. And, the parents are like, sure, no problem. Yeah.
She got sent on one of the episodes, the wrong kid back. And she was like, oh, I see this happened again. It's a reject, So she's like, bye, little Timmy. And he's like, bye, Mrs. Jetson. And then she pushes the button and he gets sent back to his mom. And then she's like, okay, well, hopefully little whoever comes back in the right clothes. I'm like, oh my gosh, it's so funny. And then even in the pilot, it was super funny because she was trying to figure out how to, because they were going to get Rosie, right? The robot. And they were trying to figure out how to replace the archaic quote unquote devices that they had. She was like, this thing's a dinosaur, and it's just like blowing smoke and all this, but it's basically a replicator. And I'm just thinking, you don't even know how good you have it. anyway,
we're just going in all in on the Jetsons today. But first, before we go any further, let's bring up God's word.
Yes, absolutely. First things first. Hey, listen, we're going to talk about Matthew 6:19-21. Okay, I can't read it. Where is it? There it is. Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth where moths and vermin destroy and where thieves break in and steal, but store up for yourselves treasures in heaven where moths and vermin do not destroy and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. So things that we are putting our treasure in, and our time and our money and all of the things that we find valuable, hopefully are eternal and aren't going to blow up in smoke when they never become archaic. They never break down. There's never things where I need to replace this. Like, I'm hoping I'm not going and building up some ministry and it's like, oh, that got old and I've got to replace it now. It's eternal.
Right.
These things don't just get old and they're not temporary.
Yeah. Now keep in mind that as we go through these things, look, especially coming from us, we love technology.
Oh yeah.
Right. Mm-hmm. I should play that song. Anyway,
I love technology almost as much as you, UC.
Thank you for that.
You're welcome.
But the thing is we can't let innovation and technology override. That's the whole point here.
Yeah.
Not letting these conveniences, the technology in our lives, okay, our cell phones, our iPads or whatever, get in the way of really connecting with God. Many times we put the values we have in these earthly desires, desiring the next great gadget, even the dependence that we have on these earthly things, these material things, we put so much value into it, whether we need it or not, or we need to be in it. How many of us, I'm guilty of it. I know you are too.
Yeah.
But the first thing we do is we pick up our device.
Every morning. Yep.
Rather than the first thing we do is get connected with God. And then it's no wonder that we feel so disconnected from God.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because or we feel like we have no time to pray.
Yeah. And I mean, even with the habits that we've cultivated with getting up, and we spend a couple hours every morning just connecting with God, exercising, doing the things that we we should be doing first thing in the morning, but I don't wake up in the morning. I mean, this is something I'm working on. I mean, nobody's perfect at any of this. I wake up first thing in the morning and I don't just hit my knees and start praying first. Like, I pick up my phone and I figure out, you know, what my day looks like and all this. And I start, you know, walking through all the things I have to do and I have to take care of. And I start my day out already piling stuff up on myself.
Right.
That's the just danger, like my personality.
Right. So the danger of that is you're picking up your phone. You get your notification of an email, a work email.
This has happened.
Or whatever.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And it takes, you're now drawn into your day of a fire or an issue that needs to be addressed. And you go right head first into doing that rather than praying and getting yourself aligned
with God,
with God for the day.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's not just getting yourself set up before you start diving into things. It is an act of faith and obedience to literally put God first, not just most important, but first in your timeline. So God was really clear with me recently about, because I was asking him for more time to pray and I need more time to study and how do I find that time? And he's like, you have the time. You're just not prioritizing that time. You're not putting me literally first. Like when you wake up in the morning, think about me first, talk to me first, give me the first. So tithing technically of my day. Time you can't get any more of. I mean, gosh, we talk about tithing money all the time, which is a totally separate episode. But that's, I can get more money. I mean, I can get more and more and more and more money. Like that's, you know, that's something I can get more of. But time, I can't get any more time. So why in the world would I not want to take the thing that I can't get any more of and prioritize the first of that and give it to God? And then, but what happens is he honors that. And that gets us into all of these other things today. But when we're talking about, look, the first thing we want to talk about really is that like we said, the consequences of misplaced values. Well,
that's what I'm talking about.
So this focus being shifted away from God,
right,
even in those tiny moments.
Right. We're putting value in, I have to
pick this up and know what's going on. And FOMO, FOMO.
There's notifications there. I have to address those notifications. We make those habits.
Yep.
And look, maybe that sounds odd to you. Maybe you're not the type of person that really gets up and really desires right now to be in prayer, to get connected with God first thing in the morning. And I got to tell you, in doing that in our lives, it has created an enrichment, a filling up of my spirit. And now that's something that we are desiring. So
you do desire it more and more. And I will say yesterday, we had gotten up and God just poured into us in our prayer time yesterday morning. Specifically, it's always good. God's always moving. The Holy Spirit's always in our prayers. But something happened yesterday morning where I just felt, I mean, we were praying in the spirit. It was just, there was prophetic word. Just there was, God was just moving and we got done. And I was like tears rolling down my face, just moved. I was just moved. And there was no explanation for it. And I just walked away from that. I told him, I said, I don't know, man, we must've needed that this morning or something. Yesterday was crazy busy. There was just everything pulling at us. I had meeting after meeting after meeting. And by the end of the day, we were just exhausted. And I looked at him and I said, I should be in the worst mood right now. I should just be torn down and just absolutely, I don't know which direction I'm going. But because of yesterday's prayer, I could still feel the overflow from that prayer. That's why God moved. But we had to give him the opportunity to do that. So even in the midst of all of our conveniences, all of the things we have, there's nothing wrong with any of the conveniences. But what we're not doing is we're not prioritizing God, no matter what our lifestyle
over is. Those things.
Over those things. It's not, there's nothing wrong with money. There's nothing wrong with tech. There's nothing wrong with conveniences. It's a matter of how our mindset and our perspective is and how that shifts towards the creator, the provider, and the orchestrator of all those things.
And I don't think we don't consider how these devices and the habits that we have around our devices, these earthly things, how that is affecting our day mentally, spiritually. But when we are coming to God, first thing, we're coming to God in every moment, not just in the morning, but in every moment that you are spending throughout your day in your commute. You get in your car, you're about to walk into work, you're sitting down at your desk, you know, you're getting on that phone call that you know that you're going to need some help with, right? Yep. That is where you need to really be connecting with God, getting in alignment with Him, helping you to calm your spirit, right? Yep, even with those difficult situations, I'm not saying that every difficult situation, the outcome of that is going to be positive, okay? It may be a very negative conversation or a negative situation, but the thing is that you need to be armed spiritually to walk into that battle.
Absolutely.
And many times we don't do that because we are focused on all these other distractions.
So for example, most of us, we have all our meetings on Zoom. I'm stacking Zoom meetings all day, right, to get things done. But what's happened in the past 6 months is I've really gotten diligent about praying before those. So I will intentionally sit at my desk, close my eyes, fold my hands, and give that meeting to God and say, God, whatever you want to happen during this meeting, whatever you want to take place, whatever, you know, move through the tech, move through the screen, move through my words, and do the things and accomplish the things you want to accomplish. That has shifted the atmosphere of every single one of those calls when I do that. Because number one, I believe it's shifting me, because that is really, I mean, prayer, it moves God, but prayer mostly, along with a lot of other things we think are for God, they're actually for us. They shift our mindset. They shift the way we speak, the way we hear. They shift us away from things that are lying to us and trying to get in and give us miscommunications with the people we're talking to. All the things that does, it shifts the atmosphere of the moment. And so, you know, while we are using our conveniences, our tech, walking through our lives, doing the things that we're doing, and living our lifestyle, we need to make sure that we're going to God in every single one of those moments. He wants to be a part of it. By the way, He created all this tech and all of these conveniences and everything. They're not evil. He created this. I love when people, this is my favorite argument. Social media is ruining society. I'm like, you think society was perfect till social media came around, and then it was, darn it, social media just ruined everything. Right. The Roman Empire totally didn't fall because, you know, it's a good thing there wasn't social media. It would have been worse. Like, you know, humans are humans. Are you kidding? Right. Like, it's not because we have modern conveniences. It's not like WALL-E is going to happen, and that's where we're headed, you know, and that's the first time humankind has tried to destroy itself. You know, sin exists. Like, guys, right. Newsflash, this isn't new.
Right. We live in a fallen world.
It's not new to God. Right. It's not new to humankind.
But the thing is these things that are created, and you know, I think your point here is that the tech, the things that are created in this world, mainly God could move through.
Right.
No matter what. Even if it's a company or a brand that you don't necessarily agree with. I'm not a big fan of boycotts because, in my opinion, they have little to no effect. There are some you could say that too, but I think you can make a better impact into the kingdom of God by infiltrating those things that maybe you could influence those brands that you maybe disagree with, those business owners, corporations that you maybe don't agree with. Maybe there are opportunities, and pray for those opportunities where you can, or God's spirit can enter those areas and change a culture, a work culture, a culture that they're trying to spread. I think many times, and I'm getting on a soapbox here, but I think many times we, as Christians, we try to separate ourselves, which is fine, but then we retreat. We retreat, and no one's speaking into that dark space. And that is a discussion for another time. But
That leads us into the next discussion, right. Next point we have to make, though, which is the illusion of perfection. Mm-hmm. I think actually what we're talking about keeps us from doing that. So the illusion of perfection being, you know, keeping up with the Joneses, or in this case, the Jetsons.
Right.
Okay. I need my own version of the flying shoe shaped car, or whatever the little like retro bulb that they're flying around in, you know, and look, we have iPads and iPhones over here and MacBooks, and we have, you wouldn't believe how much tech we own. It's completely ridiculous because we love tech. We're big tech geeks. I love any medium and any tool I can use to get out the gospel. I love anything that would make my day so streamlined that I have time to do the things that are important to me, not just to do more things, to streamline what I know I need to get done so that I can do the things that are important, so that I can prioritize 2.5 hours in the morning hanging out with God and my family and praying and exercising and all of that. Because the thing is, at the end of the day, that's what these conveniences are for. They're supposed to be for getting some of the busy work out of the way so that we can do the more important things, not to just go find more busy work. See, it's all about our perspective and where we're placing the value. That's what we're talking about here. So if I'm putting the value on the tech, I'm going to go find more of that. I'm going to go find more ways to be in that, not have that help me find more ways to do the things that are important to me. If I put my value and treasure in eternal things, I'm going to utilize mediums and tools and resources to find more eternal things. Does that make sense? Right. So that's what the tech is for. That's what the modern conveniences is for. That's what all of these things that we're trying to grab are for. You know, one of the things that I was just thinking when you were talking about the modern conveniences and the, it's not that, well, we were talking about the tools not being new, getting in the way, like social media isn't the culprit. Okay. These things are all, I was just thinking the word amplify. They just amplify what's already there. So the fact of the matter is that, well, when somebody is drinks, like if you've ever seen, there's all these different, they call them types of drunks, right? Mm-hmm. So there's like the funny drunk and the violent drunk and the, you know, the depressed drunk and all this. People drink alcohol and it amplifies whatever's already happening.
Yeah.
It's not causing the person to be.
Social media is the world's cocktail.
Yeah.
Is that what you're saying?
Yeah. Yes. Because think about it. We laugh about if you're our age and what is that, like Gen X, I guess, or whatever you want to call it. Mm-hmm. We laugh because we're like, thank God social media wasn't around when we were kids. Why? It's not social media that shouldn't have been around. It's the amplification of what was happening. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
We were running around being idiots.
Like, yeah, but the thing is we are running around. We're outside.
That's true. No, it's
not
true.
Behind a desk. But the thing, or behind a computer.
But the amplification of it.
Yeah.
And so then people have their minds in the wrong places.
Yeah.
And that's the problem. It's people. It's the sinful nature, not the thing.
But the many times we're talking about an illusion of perfection, that amplification produces an illusion.
Correct.
And many times we get so focused on that illusion, we think we then put our priorities in alignment with that illusion.
Yeah.
And it leads us down the wrong road. Many times we follow, maybe we're following a celebrity and their lifestyle. Or a online influencer.
The illusion of their lifestyle.
Right.
Right.
Keep in mind, all what you're seeing there is an illusion many times. It's produced, it's edited.
It's makeup. A highlight reel.
Right. Look, I think, you know, even growing up, I remember the big debate was how women would compare themselves to these cover models, right? That, you know, the magazines in the store purposely are set up there at checkout with these beautiful women. But what happens is it's all about lighting, makeup.
Yeah. And Photoshop.
And Photoshop.
Yep.
And so those people weren't, that was an illusion.
It's not real.
But now, these days, the illusion is even worse. Those people are not real. Those are AI.
They're not even real humans that ever existed. And one of the things I was thinking about this is think about this. And I bet you anything, there's definitely a few of you that are like, right, exactly. And so that has to go because we don't want to have that stuff that our kids are learning how to compare themselves to. No, it doesn't have to go. What has to go is our perspective that that's real. Exactly. Because when we watch, for example, you take your kids to see things like magic shows or you know, things at theme parks or whatever, and then there's illusions, right? And it's fun. We watch illusions all the time. We watch a CGI. We watch computer graphics. We just think that's amazing. If you watch Star Wars or you watch Marvel or anything, our kids aren't like, man, why can't I fly? I'm an idiot because I can't fly.
Why can't I have a replicator?
Why can't I have a replicator? We don't do that. Why? Because if you asked your kid about that, they said, well, I know it's not real, right? What we need to teach our kids is that that's not real. It's just the same as a Marvel superhero. It's no different. It's CGI. Right? It's AI, it's Photoshop. But the problem is it's that these ideals that have been instilled in society, that's the thing to shoot for. Instead of teaching our kids about Jesus and emulating him and what he stood for and stands for today and what God wants us to raise our standards to.
Right.
Right. It's like we're picking and choosing. It's all not real. It's all temporary. It's all fleeting.
Right.
All of it.
So maybe you're not the type of person that gets, you know, so caught up in celebrity. But are you comparing yourself to your neighbor, to your coworker, and how you're perceiving their life, lifestyle?
If my neighbor could fly, maybe.
your neighbor gets a new car. Oh, right? I want a new car. You know, my neighbor's. I have a few people in this neighborhood. They have Corvettes, very cool cars.
Yeah.
I'm not going to get a Corvette, but those are cool cars. But, you know, your neighbor or your coworker, they're taking vacations, you know, every 6 months, and they're going to see the world. And you're like, oh, I want to be able to do that. And we get so caught up in that. We're willing to just hawk up, you know, the credit card, you know, just put it all on a right. credit card just so we could have a taste of that type of lifestyle,
right?
That perfect perfection or seem to be a perfect life, the life that we want. The thing is God will give you the life that he designed for us.
Right.
And your desire for that, believe me, will be eternal, like what we're talking about, because that thing that you're desiring, the new car, the vacation, the new clothes, they only have a certain amount of life. They're only going to last so long. The vacation is only going to be a moment. But what we're trying to illustrate here is many times we put that illusion of this lifestyle, this fake lifestyle, ahead of the lifestyle that God has for us.
Right.
And the contentment that he provides yep. through that.
Let me tell you something. I want to tell you a little story about this. So for years and years and years, gosh, I don't know, probably 10 years, we were just dying to get these girls to go to be able to take them to Disney. It was just like, we just want to make memories we knew all these people. I mean, they went yearly. We're like, how do they afford to go to this annually? It's crazy.
Oh, yes.
How does anybody do this? It's like thousands of dollars every year. Like, what in the heck? And so we were always so perplexed by that. And we just said, God, we know this isn't the most important thing. We even prayed that way. We know it's not the most important thing, God. But we really want to take these girls to Disney, and especially like Disney World, because we know it's like bigger and there's other things going on besides just the one park or whatever it happened to be. We had these whole conversations with God, like, God, that would just be really cool if we could do that for them and before they get too old. So, you know, we didn't really know if it was really ever going to happen because we were like, we're praying for Disney. I mean, you know, a theme park. But we ended up making a decision to book a trip right before COVID, just like everybody, to Disneyland. We lived on the West Coast at the time. And basically, like, we were actually using points and all this really cool stuff. We got a great deal. And we thought, this is it. This is going to be it. We're going to actually finally take him to Disney, even if it's just Disneyland. And that's a big deal. You know, they never get to meet any of the characters. This is going to be great. So we booked it all up. We paid for it and everything. And then COVID happened and we had to get our money back. And we were like, we never even told them it was going to be for their birthday surprise and everything. We were going to do the whole like filming them while they, you know, find out that they're in the car and they're going to Disneyland for their birthday, a whole thing, man. We talked it up. This never happens because of COVID. And meanwhile, we go through the whole COVID ordeal. And when God told us we were moving and he said, make a decision, we said, okay, we're going to make a decision. We were going between Texas and Florida because we've always wanted to live in Florida. And then Charlotte, because we used to live in Charlotte where one of our kids lives. Okay. He says, make a decision. So we make a decision and we decide on Florida because we thought we're not going to move across the country again. We're not doing this again. And we don't even want to move out of state again for that matter. But if we don't take the opportunity to move now to Florida, we may never get the opportunity. So we would really be angry at ourselves if we didn't. So let's just see if God says this is it, right? Let's just say yes to Florida and we'll do it. So what happened was, is we, everything goes into motion, clicks into motion. God moves. He opens doors. He expedites everything. Everything works literally perfect. We get here and, you know, the moral of the story is that what happened is we got here and yes, it wasn't super easy at first or whatever. And we had to find a place and all this, but we ended up finally sitting down in our house one day. And I looked at him and I went, do you realize that we had years and years and years of discussion of just trying to get these girls to Disney to just take them once? And God said, how about you live there? How about you can go anytime you want? It's part of your life, but through the thing I'm going to give you, because you put me first, not only am I going to like 10 times, 10X that ask by letting you live there, but it's going to be so purposeful where you live that it's going to be no question that the whole time it was my plan. I put desires in your heart with purpose for the kingdom so that when we make God's business our business, he makes our business his business.
Yeah. The thing is, well, first of all, to the, adding to that story, we weren't planning to live here in Orlando.
Great point.
We weren't, that wasn't part of our plan. Our plan.
Our plan was Tampa. And now are we glad we didn't choose that because of all of the friends and family we have over here.
Right.
Yeah.
And the thing is God, once we got here, it was apparent that this is where we needed to be.
Yeah.
Everything we tried to move out that way, but everything started falling through. You said everything went into place. That's true.
Until we got here.
Till we got here. And yep. Then where we thought we needed to be, go there, all those things were falling through. And then we just heard from God that this is where we needed to stay.
Right.
And I really think that story in itself, side note, that's not done. I think.
Well, that's definitely not done.
Well, yeah. I think, especially when it comes to Disney, there are things that God is going to do with that whole situation.
Yeah.
And I'm seeing it. I'm hearing it. And one day I'll come back and we'll rewind this moment.
That's right. And we'll have full circle.
Right. But okay. So let's bring up the next thing. What we want to talk about really, and we kind of veered into it, which is the trap of material wealth and status.
Yep.
Again, when we compare ourselves to our neighbors, to our coworkers, we get caught up of trying to live up to this status that the world, again, this world illusion that we need to measure up to. And so we try to keep up with the Jetsons. We're buying the newest thing here and the newest thing there and all these cool things, even a lifestyle,
right?
Even how we treat one another. Okay. You know, a few episodes back, we were talking about marriage and we were talking about how people treat each other, couples treat each other, how women treat men, how men treat women, and how we talk about them in a negative way.
Yeah.
And it seems like everyone's doing it, even the good marriages, right?
Yeah, and especially in parenting people, man, they want you to talk about how you don't want to be around your kids.
Exactly.
Moms, man.
Right, so you see this in social media.
Yeah.
You see this, and I've seen it first. I started seeing a lot of this type of culture of talking bad about one another, even our kids, even our spouse, our loved ones, our closest, our treasure. We're talking negative and talking poison to our about our treasure, the people that we love the most. And it seems we see it on TV, we see it on social media, and now we see it in people's day-to-day lives. People are, you know, they're griping and complaining about their spouse, about their children, rather than lifting them up.
Yeah. The thing is that people get really, when you say, of course I struggle with being frustrated with who isn't frustrated with their kids on some kind of level, because they're growing up and they're like other human beings that are apart from you. You know what I mean? They're kids. They're like shooting their superpowers all over the place and willy nilly. And they don't even know how to handle the gifts they've been given. And they're just running around like crazy chickens with their heads cut off. Like, I'm going to do all the things. And you're trying to like manage this, you know, by being their covering. And of course that can get very exhausting. They can get very frustrating on some days, but people have taken the normalcy of like, that's hard work, to now I'm going to cope with vices and coping mechanisms. I'm going to smoke and drink, and I'm going to, I'm not talking about addicts. I'm not talking about people with actual drinking and drug addictions. I'm talking about regular everyday people that have normalized day drinking because they're moms. They have normalized smoking pot because they're moms. They put together clubs for this. They put together like, let's go out on Friday nights and get hammered because we're moms. That's the reason. I can't even. Oh my gosh, I can't even. And I'm like, so what about all these women back in the day that were just like these strong, like brick and mortar women that were just like
brick and mortar women.
Like these, you know, they're just like
They remind me of Rosie the Robot. I just, when you say brick and mortar women,
well, I mean, like, think solid. About it. These women were like rock solid. There was nothing you could do they didn't see. They had eyes in every point of the universe. Like, you know, people were afraid of these women. Like, you know, they knew everything, they did everything, they cooked everything, they made sure they worked, they practically would work a full-time job if they needed to, whatever, and they would do whatever it took. And now people are like, I can't even like cope with just having to even have another human being in my life, and I just don't even understand how to wake up and not have, I mean, this entire generation has anxiety, okay? That is not modern conveniences, tech. That is not social media that's done that.
No.
That is not all of the things that we go out and try to, you know, like getting rich and status and everything. But that is society.
It's the underlying thing.
Yep.
Okay. So we started this episode about the Jetsons. We see the tech. The tech is obvious. And that's the whole, really the whole idea, the structure of this show.
And that's not to say techies. Any tech that you're using.
Right. But what we're talking about here is that underlying mindset, even in the Jetsons. Okay.
Right.
And you see this in other shows, but the Jetsons we're talking about today, where you see George portrayed as this, you know, kind of workaholic bonehead, right. Of a husband. And the woman is this Judy is just this, you know, this housewife that is so needy and, you know, she needs all the latest frills and things like that.
Yeah. She can't even exactly.
And she can't eat. Yeah. But they started to shape the culture of how we see one another.
Right.
And that's funny. And we like to point at that. And look, we're all imperfect, right? We all have weird habits. We're all weird in our own way.
We're all weirdos, you guys, for sure.
And sometimes that weirdness clashes. But instead of tearing each other down, we need to be lifting people up. We need to be lifting each other up, praying for one another.
Not getting into clubs so that we can further tear each other down in misery loves company groups. Like, that's what I was trying to get at. It was just kind of like, why aren't we like, hey, You're an amazing human being. You're an amazing mom. Why don't we go do something that builds us up instead of going and having a coping party? Like, why aren't we doing that in society? Because we've trained each other to say, you're okay. And by saying you're okay, the way I'm going to say you're okay is to get into your darkness with you.
Right.
And that's what we're saying is that the people need Jesus to be the beacon of where they're focused, not because perfection, but because purity, but because of the love and grace that comes from him. But because when you lift up to that standard, not in a standard of perfection, but a standard of the literal level of love that Jesus has for us, it pulls us up into a place where we can pull others up with us. That's what I'm trying to say. Mm-hmm. If the Jetsons had God in their lives, they would have spent way more of that extra time they had on ministry. They would have used and able to utilize the tech and conveniences that they had to maximize what they were doing for the kingdom. I think that they would have had a lot more people over at their house all the time. I think, you know what I mean? Like, you know, they barely didn't have to do anything.
Well, he had Mr. Spacely over, but it was all about getting his
Mr. Spacely, his meatloaf.
Yeah. He was all about leveraging that, his stomach, right? Because he wanted that home cooked meal, yeah, right, through their replicator.
Hey, look me in the eye and tell me you've never leveraged someone's hunger to get them over to your house to talk about Jesus.
but he was leveraging it to get more money,
yeah,
so he could pay for his wife's
robot,
new robot,
yeah,
right,
yeah,
more convenient. So she could have a robot made.
If we spent that kind of time, effort and motivation to get the things for the kingdom that we wanted, to get the things that for that God wants us to go after, that we do on things like money and convenience, woo, this would be a different world, wouldn't it? Mm-hmm. I mean, because this is the thing. Again, this whole episode is not to really bag on all of the modern things that we have. It's really to understand what they're really for, what they should be for, and that they're actually great. They're great for pushing forward the kingdom. They're great for community. You know, the things that have actually broken down our community because we are more disconnected than ever, that's 100% humanity's fault, not the tech's fault. There should be nothing but more connection. And people state that all the time. Man, in a time where we should be more connected than ever, we're more disconnected. That is the sinful, fallen world that we live in, not convenience. At all. That's our nature.
Right. Why?
Why? Why? Because we're not focused on God.
Exactly. We are allowing the lifestyle of the convenience that the tech provides. Mm-hmm. We're allowing that to guide our lives. We get so caught up. Mm-hmm. Well, I don't have to. You mean I don't need to leave my house? I could just have all my meetings here.
In my pajamas.
Interact with people online. I think really COVID really solidified that with people. Wait, I don't have to leave my house. I don't even need to leave my house to order groceries anymore.
Hallelujah.
Okay. But the thing is we need to get out. We need to connect with people.
It's true.
We need to shake hands with one another. We need to be able to hug one another and really have true community.
But you know what's happened to us?
But we have to go out of our way.
We have to go our way. But here's the thing. It's actually become more work. Why has it become more work? Because it's different motivating factors. So for example, it used to be when we didn't have all these conveniences, we had to go out to get groceries. We had to go out to connect with people because we couldn't, you know, connect with them on Zoom or whatever. We had to go out to work. We had to go out, you know, to see church, right? There was no streaming church, all of that. So we had to go out to do those things. And we still should be going to church, you guys. But now, because we can work from home and Zoom and take care of so many things at home, because we can order groceries, because I can online order things like getting my lawn done or whatever, what do we do leave the house all the time. We're out all the time, like multiple times a day. What are we doing? Going to things that we're volunteering for, mm-hmm, taking our kids to extracurricular classes that they now in music lessons and things that they want to do. We're going out to friends' houses to have fellowship and go to dinner at their house.
More intentional work.
We're going out. Yes, we're going out to make memories with our kids. Now we live in Florida, so we're able to go to Disney for the day or whatever, but whatever thing is around you, like we're able to go live the life that we want to live and build the kingdom and do things for God and go help out. The other day, we went to Hunger for Hope at our church and packed meals for kids in other countries. Like that was awesome. Our kids loved it. We loved it. And we did it with our church. I'm able to spend my time doing that instead of grocery shopping. That's what I use conveniences for. Do you see what I'm saying? It has nothing to do with it. Organize your life in a way where the conveniences create a structure where you can go do the more important things and you don't have to be grocery shopping. And by the way, when I'm doing that, I'm making it possible for someone to make money to do my groceries for me, because that's what they're trying to do. They're trying to get hired to do these things. They want, that's their career or their job or their thing for the moment. Or it's a high school kid or a college kid and they need to grab some more, you know, some extra income, whatever. I'm pouring into that while I'm going and doing things I can do to pour into someone else's life. And the cycle keeps going. You know, I want to be able to do things like, maybe I want to make enough money to have somebody who I can hire for our permanent like housekeeper or something, or somebody who does all of our landscaping. I want Rosie the freaking robot. Okay. No, I want to pour into people's lives with that. That's okay to do that, because how many people's lives have been changed by being hired for somebody as their, you know, personal, assistant or something. I don't know. But my point is there's nothing wrong with pouring into people's lives that way and having it be more convenient for you. Why? So that I can go do more things.
Right.
Because in the beginning I started with, I can always go get more money so that I can pour into things, but I can't get any more time. What am I using my time for? Right. And then, so all this tech and conveniences and modern things that we have should make it so that we can maximize our time. So that we can do more important things.
Maximize what God has called you into.
Yes, exactly.
Right?
Yes.
Maximize the gifts that God has put in you. Maximize the calling, the mission that He has you on.
Maximize the outreach that you're able to have in the world online for the gospel.
Right, exactly. Rather than shying away from it and saying, well, I don't want to be on this platform because of this and this,
it's
and
the all devil's tool,
right? Or your laundry list of things. Why? The thing is that you can use that as a powerful tool for the kingdom of God. And look, when we're in the mission field and we're trying to bring the good news to people, we're bringing the good news to the lost, to those dark places, yes, to the people that haven't heard the good news or haven't heard it in a while and in the way that God needs them to hear it, right? Look, they're going to hear something, and it should be hearing God's good news rather than the other garbage that's on the internet, on that particular platform. So what we're saying when we're not on these platforms, now I'm not talking about the dark web or anything like that. Okay. Because
that's a whole other thing.
That's a whole other thing. And that there are Christians on the dark web doing certain things, but
it takes a special person.
That's a special person, yeah. But I'm getting sidetracked. But the thing is when you're on the most popular platforms or you're not, you're saying, well, I don't want to be there anymore because
it's too hard. I don't like seeing what I see.
Right. And people are being mean. Okay. So what you're saying is that you're going to let those mean people take over and speak into other innocent lives, kids, people that are lost. You're conceding the ground there.
Yep.
And you're saying, no more. I'm not going to do it. Mm-hmm. But you know, deep down, that God has called you to something. God has called you to speak in a specific way to bring your light into certain circumstances. You have a story to tell. You have a testimony that can speak loudly into someone's life that is all the way on the other side of the world.
I heard somebody say the other day, and this is good, guys, and it really lit me up. And he said, I promise Satan's not telling you to go on social media and tell the world about Jesus Christ and the love and the life that he brings. I promise Satan's not telling you to go onto social media and talk about the gospel. Okay. So who's telling you to do that? God is, right?
Exactly right.
Satan doesn't want you to do that. Yes, he has his hand in everything. Social media is just an amplification of the world and what it's already doing, except it's the highlight reel, okay? Which is what everyone's complaining about. But what I say is that anybody who backs away and concedes that ground anywhere, whether it's in person or online, is just one less voice for God. And you're just removing that. Anybody who's backing out, that's just one less person for somebody to hear the gospel from. One less person, one less person, one less, one fewer, one fewer. And it just becomes smaller and smaller and smaller because, well, we just don't want to deal with it. Or we're going to utilize the verse that says that we should avoid all things that appear evil. That's not what that verse is talking about. We need to be out and doing the thing, using these modern conveniences to maximize and amplify the message. And we're not doing it the way, there's so many people doing it. Okay. I realize that, but there's so many people not doing it. I think there's more people not doing it than people that are doing it and people that could be doing it.
Well, the thing is
in their own way,
right? Look, the forces of evil, their forces are small compared to the forces of the kingdom of God, compared to the armies of the kingdom of God. The problem is that the Christian church is allowing the forces of the enemy to seem bigger than they are, to be louder, because they're the only voices in the room.
Right.
We're not bringing the counterpoint. We're not speaking God's love into these places. Mm-hmm. There's no voice anymore. Because we don't want to be shut down.
Do you know that no one can shut you down? Do you know that they could shut down your business, but they can't shut down every business? Do you know they can shut down every business and still not shut you down? You cannot be shut down. You walk into every room with all the victory already given to you, all the authority. Any room you walk into, you have the authority. I'm sorry, but if Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego can walk into a fire and Jesus shows up, and they don't get burned, I'm pretty sure we can withstand anything. Okay. And I'm not saying that horrible things don't happen, but we're with God for eternity, guys. Like, you know, maybe you don't want to pick a certain fight or whatever, fine, but don't do things out of fear. The enemy's this big. He's a joke. Okay. And to be honest, making more out of him than he actually is a mistake. We need to go out and be the light. Light a candle instead. In the darkness. That's it. And so I know we have a little bit of a platform we get on about that, but I'm telling you, if you don't know how to follow God and you're worried about the enemy and you're not sure where to turn, and somebody told you to take something out of your house and get rid of it, and it must be that, and it must be, you know, maybe you have friends like Job's friends from the Bible where they're like, well, maybe it was something you did, and maybe God's not listening to you, and all this stuff. That's all noise. Because here's the deal. Maybe there's truth in there with some of that maybe is biblical. But if that's just making you nuts and you're just like, I don't even know where to begin, guys. Like, there's so many things I'm hearing from all these places, and this is in the Bible and that's in the Bible. You know what is in the Bible first? That God calls us to do is to love him and to love others with all our, as we love ourselves and as we love him. Mm-hmm. Okay. To love him and to love others. If you're like too much, it's too much, it's too noisy. Love him and then love others.
Right.
Be the light first. Stop worrying about if you're just like, I'm a new Christian. I don't even know what I'm supposed to be doing and not supposed to be doing. You know what? Follow God. Ask God. He'll tell you. Stop worrying about all that stuff. He's not going to throw you out because you accidentally missed one thing that you thought maybe you know, I didn't get rid of that one thing in my life. That's not who God even is. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
And so that's why I feel like I needed to say that to somebody. I don't know, but I just feel like, We covered so much today, and we kind of go back and forth and go round and round. And there's so much stuff you're hearing from other places. I just want you to be confident in that if you're following Jesus and you're walking with him hand in hand and you're following what he tells you to do and you're loving him and you're loving people and he always comes first, you don't need to be perfect. Nobody is. But that's the number one thing to be focused on.
Look, I know that we went a little long today. Man, God just kind of, I really feel like God just took over today's episode.
Totally.
Because I tell you what, we didn't even touch even half of what we thought we wanted to cover today. So, you know, we'll bring that
episode two.
Yeah, that will be on our next episode talking about value. We'll finish that off, but for today, since we've gone long, we'll start ending we're going to land this plane here. All right. But before we do, we want to talk about a couple of things that are coming up.
Absolutely. So guys, listen, we've talked about this before. The U.S. Christian Chamber is putting on an event. I'm going to go find this image here. And it is in April, April 18th and 19th and 20th. If you go to the 20th, that's just for the International Christian Chamber. But the 18th and 19th is the U.S. Christian Chamber's SWC event, Spiritual World Citizens. It has absolutely, look at this image, so much for you to come and experience for your business. If you're a business owner or aspiring business owner, you guys, this has breakout speakers. It has TED Talks. It has keynote speakers, worship, just has an expo floor so you can get to know all the businesses that are in and out of the area that are coming in from out of state. You guys, this is going to be a huge event. It is at the Doubletree at SeaWorld, and it's a gorgeous event venue. And we're going to have the absolute best time, and you do not want to miss this, because this is going to pour into and transform you and your business in multiple ways. And whatever it is that God has for you, it is waiting for you at this event. So you guys, their tickets are on sale right now at uschristianchamber.com. Make sure you hit the 2024 conference link to make sure that you get all the details, and the ticket information is on there as well. This is something that I absolutely want to make sure that you guys go to. Let me just get this off of here. There we go. And we are actually going to be there for the entire time, because we are running the expo floor and a bunch of other things that we're running there. But you guys, come see us. We can't wait to meet you. If you want to come in from out of state and meet us, that would be super fun. Let us know if you're coming. And if you live here and you know us and you want to come, let us know, and we'll give you more information on that.
Look, I hope you guys got some value out of today. I hope what we are saying when we're talking about the Jetsons, we want to have a little fun, but we want to speak God's truth. Mm-hmm. And I hope that truth just cut through all the distractions that you might be having in your life. I hope that some of the things that we talked about today really feeds you and nourishes you in a way that you can get, you just thirst. You begin to thirst for those things that God has for you.
Absolutely. Okay? Let's go ahead, and I'm going to pray us out. Lord Jesus, we just lift these questions that we have, these concerns, anything that's confusing up to you, God, that what are we supposed to be doing in our lives? What is it we're supposed to be focusing on? God, we've heard today that it's you. That it's you we're supposed to be focusing on. And then God, I just lift those up to you that are not sure what that means, that you would pour your spirit out on them, that you would just pour your word out on them, God, and that they would see the truth and the keys to what it means to follow you. God, I ask that you would take away the shame and the condemnation and the guilt that people may feel around the lifestyle that they live when it comes to just, they've been focusing on that instead of you, God, and that you would just lift them out of that and show them that they can have the life, a modern life with you in it, God, and that you have a plan for that, that actually the things that they've been shamed about is trying, people were shaming them, the enemy was shaming them and guilting them, was actually just trying to keep them from walking out the callings that you have on their lives. God, that's what the truth is. The truth is that shame is trying to keep these people from walking in the truth and the light with you, God. And so, God, I ask that you share that with them. You share that with the people that are so confused about how come they don't feel connected to you, and how do they get connected to you in the life that they're living, God. So I just ask that you would just be close to them. And God, I ask that you would show us where you to place our value, God. Today, we're talking about how we get caught up in modern conveniences and modern life. And God, that brings us, can bring us away from you if we don't place our value in you first. So God, I ask that you help us do that. I ask that you help us to focus on what's most important, and that all those things will be added to us, God, and that we can have this modern life in a way that glorifies you and that spreads the gospel, God, and impacts others' lives. So we just thank you and praise you and give you all the glory for what you're about to do. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for joining us today. Be sure to subscribe to Faith Unregulated wherever you listen to your favorite podcast, so you don't miss a single episode where we discuss having bold faith, building strong character, and taking fearless action. Also, be sure to check out our community at patreon.com/faithunregulated, where you can join the conversation and access premium content. Again, that is Patreon, patreon.com/faithunregulated. We are your hosts, Javi and Jessica Madrigal, and see you next time. God bless.